All right, let's turn in our Bibles here to Galatians chapter number 5. And here in Galatians chapter number 5, we're just actually going to use one verse as our reading thing. We're going to read verse number 1. So Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1.
Give me one second. Okay.
All right. We'll read it. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, when we really look at what most of Christianity has done today is, we see how Christianity has really entangled individuals in that yoke of bondage and has set people up to where they are trying to keep a performance-based system in order to either obtain their salvation or to maintain the salvation.
Amen.
You'll have it, so we'll say, you know, people are saved by grace, but you know what, in order to keep them walking right, you better put them right under the law to make sure an individual is doing the things that God intends for them to do. And this is when we look at this assembly in Galatia, we see how this is exactly what was going on with them. When you see how Paul talks about them and says that he's afraid of them because they were starting to observe days and times and seasons, that they were doing all of these things that you see in, you know, the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy. You know, and individuals are trying to say, well, you know, you have to do, you know, forget about that ceremonial piece of the law. You know, all, if you just keep the Ten Commandments, you'll be fine. Well, the first thing is the scriptures never actually break it down and say, you know, these are the Ten Commandments for you to follow. You know, yes, they were written on stone tablets that Moses carried down from the mount, but they were just the very beginning part of that law instruction that was being given to them to say, this is what we have to do. And that their responsibility was to do those things in order to become that kingdom of priests, that holy nation that God intended for them to do. And they, before God had even given it to them, their whole answer, when you go back into the book of Exodus, was, "Lord, whatever you say, we're going to do." Now, they probably regretted, you know, making that statement after the 600 plus parts of the law were actually given to them on, because there's like, okay, he's going to give it to you, like, 3-4 things that we're going to have to do, and we'll be okay. Now, even with that thought process, how many things was Adam given to do? One thing that Adam had, did Adam do it? No. And that's the reality of the natural man. Is that under a performance-based system, man is going to fail. And that's why it was the whole issue of that the Lord Jesus Christ had to do it for us, so that way we could be identified in what He did, so that way we could have our salvation. That's why our gospel is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, according to the Scripture. The whole issue is that it takes care of that sin issue. And we know, here in the book of Galatians, we turn back a couple chapters here. Let's turn back to chapter number 3 for a moment. And we're going to start here at verse number 10 of Galatians 3. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. For that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And the whole issue of why the law has been removed is and taken out of the way, that way it could no longer have an effect on us. And with the removal of the law, the whole issue of sin, and when I say sin, I'm talking about the sin that's the transgression of the law, that would put a person in a position of where they would be facing the second death, the issue of sin is taken care of. And yet, you have these individuals trying to say that this is how I'm going to be pleasing to God, and I'm going to put myself under a system that God has already said has nothing to do with God. So Paul has to write them and saying, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." We have a liberty based on who we are as the members of the body of Christ. Our identity, I'm going to go over to Romans chapter number 6. Because our identity is what is supposed to influence what it is that we're doing in our life. And Paul identifies here in Romans chapter number 6, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6 here, and it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And this is the reality of who we are. As we are identified with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And the result of that is, as it talks about the body of sin being destroyed. So when you can come down in verse number 14 and say, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And when you see Paul talk about the law, he seems to have how it's been removed from us. Even when he's writing unto Timothy and talking about the law and saying what it is, you see how the whole conclusion comes down to that the law has nothing to do with the life of an individual who has salvation. Because the law is not for a righteous man. Now, individual righteousness now comes from Paul identifies whose righteousness we have. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross took our sin and when we could receive His righteousness. It's never the righteousness of the individual, because our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the individual who committed no sin, it's His righteousness that's counted for us. It's His righteousness that's seen in us. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see us. He sees His Son in us, sees His righteousness. And when we can see Ephesians, we're talking about how we're accepted in the blood. When it talks about all those different spiritual blessings that are part of who we are, we receive all those things because of the righteousness. And that righteousness is, when we talk about the issue of standing in the liberty, being not entangled in the yoke of bondage, is Paul talking about that practical outworking of the doctrine that we take in. We see how he's laid that out earlier in the book of Galatians. We turn back to chapter number 2 in Galatians. And here in chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 20 and 21. Then I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And you see how he lays out that very clearly of that if the righteousness was coming by the law, if it was what we were doing, then everything that happened on the cross would be in vain. But it has nothing to do with us. In fact, even the issue of what we're supposed to be doing, you see how it's a thing of the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life we're living, if we're doing the things that God would have us to do, if we're standing in the liberty properly, if the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. And He lives through us through the intake of the Word of God, rightly divided. Because the Word of God is what produces faith in our life. We take the doctrine in. We have what Paul describes over in the book of Romans called the renewing of the mind. Us, instead of being conformed to this world, because there's a lot in this world that the world wants us to be conformed unto. And some things will have that appearance of being good. Some things will have that appearance of being bad. But all those things that are of the world, both the good and the bad, run contrary to what the Word of God says. And Paul hits his house up that don't be conformed to this world. He transforms the mind. Have that doctrine coming in. So as the doctrine comes in, it's going to have the influence on the individual so that way they can do the thing that God intends for us to do. Because when we look at that word, and I talk about how sin was taken care of, talk about the issue of sin being the transgression of the law. If the law is taken out of the way, and Paul talks about how you can't transgress something that's not there, that is taken care of. But Paul does talk about an issue of sin. Chapter 14, verse 23. I'm talking about whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, we already said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, the Word of God that's producing faith. So, and then what is that of the Word of God is the sin. Now, that's the sin that led to the second death. That eternal separation of God. Not of faith, this, when a person does it, this is what builds the wood, hay, and stubble upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of this. Paul will talk about how there's that foundation of Christ, and then there's things that are built upon it. Gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. The gold, silver, and precious stones coming about when a person allows the Lord Jesus Christ to live through them. The wood, hay, and stubble gets built when the person does the things that's not of faith. The fire comes down at the judgment seat of Christ. It will burn away the wood, hay, and stubble. It will leave the gold, silver, precious stones. And an individual receives and goes, in Matthew,
here's your reward. Based on the gold, silver, and precious stones that are actually there.
And Paul doesn't leave it to, you know, it's not a thing of chance that, well, you can figure out what God intends for us to live our life, because the Word of God actually lays those things out and gives us the practical thing of what we're supposed to do. We're going to look, for example, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. And here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to start here at verse number 22. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're going to stop there for a moment. And we see how Paul talks about the good things that we're to put off. He calls it the old man. You know, and that's the thing of this world that we're putting off, and we're putting on the things of the new man, the information that we're getting from the Word of God, rightly divided, and telling us how it is that we're supposed to live. And as we continue on in this chapter, you see how Paul is going to actually lay out and give very practical examples of what is supposed to be done. Verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And you see how Paul, as he lays these things out, he doesn't just say, don't do this. You know, which is kind of how we look at things and tell someone, you don't do that. Or the law, as he said, don't do this. Paul, when he's telling us these things of, you know, put away lying, that's it. Put off the things of, you know, concerning the former conversation, the old man, Paul actually lays out and says, here's what it is that you're supposed to do. And not only does he tell us what we're supposed to do, he even gives us the reason why. When he says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, and the reason why, for we are members one of another. We're all members of the body of Christ. We're all part of that one body. We should be treating all the members of that one body in a particular manner. And so he says, you know, this is what you're going to do in order to make sure that you're actually doing this. As he continues on here, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. No. And we know which sin he's talking about. Because he can't be the one that the transgression of the law, because the law has already been removed. It has to be the whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and saying to be angry and sin. No. Interesting, it doesn't tell them, don't be angry. You know, the anger is not the issue. It's the result that can come about from that anger. Because you see, many times in scriptures, God being angry over certain things. So, think of what is somebody going to do? They think, be angry and sin not. Don't do the things that are not of faith if you're getting angry. Function properly. Let's skip down here to verse 28, the example we use so many times. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So again, don't steal, but work. And work that way you're going to be able to have to give to others that have a need. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. One of the things that, when we really look at the idea of, you know, having fellowship with the fellow members of the body of Christ, our responsibility is to build each other up. To build us up in the doctrine, to build us up, and to be able to share the doctrine, share the insights that we have. It's part of that edification, building up the body. As that process goes on, each member of the body of Christ gets stronger and stronger with the doctrine coming in, and if the doctrine comes in, then we're going to be able to have the ability to stand in the liberty that we're supposed to have. And that's what God truly intends for us to have.